What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to The Fan and the Fool. I am the fan, Matthew Antonelli.
And I am the fool, Alex Cameron.
At the moment, anyway. Eventually, who knows? Maybe you'll become a fan. But I will not become the fool.
We'll see. We'll see how we go.
I feel like we should probably address something right at the start.
Before you go any further, I think I'm becoming more and more of a fool as I watch the show. Because things are happening and I don't know what's going on.
You know what's going on. They land somewhere. Susan screams. There's a problem. The doctor saves... Well, I said the doctor saves the day, but the doctor doesn't always...
And this time, someone screamed back.
Ooh. I mean, some things screamed back, if you know what I mean.
No, not at all. That's why I'm the fool.
Isn't there a forest that screams at her?
I believe the episode was called The Screaming Jungle.
Oh, The Screaming Jungle. My bad. That is the episode that had the least amount of notes on, and I'll explain why that is.
Me too.
Because... I think we'll just get there.
Let's get
but
there.
But I want to talk
before
about...
Before we start, you had something.
I feel like we should probably address the thing, because no doubt, if you're a true Doctor Who fan, and you heard us talking last week about the 7-episode part Marco Polo...
I was looking forward to it.
You're probably screaming into your headset about being like, it doesn't exist, and you can't watch it or whatever.
And that's not how communication works.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do. Now we're going to... The two of us are going to explain how we found the episode... And then watched all 7 parts of it.
Oh, okay.
And you, so you ready?
I am ready.
I just had it in the cupboard. I taped it in 1960, whatever.
Wow, you look great for your age.
No, you can't find it. It doesn't exist
anyway. It does not exist.
So, it was the very first time we've got to come across one of these lost episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean like the TV show Lost. I mean as in like this show has been... These episodes are lost.
Jeez, that's another one where I don't know what's going on.
No one did. And not even the creators of that show.
No, I was very disappointed with J.J.
What, you didn't like Weird Smoke Monster turned into What's-His-Face's dad and then the bald guy?
I loved the first 2, maybe 3 seasons until I realised he doesn't know where he's going with this. There's no planned ending. He's just going to find a way.
Yeah, but that's like anything. Have you seen The Force Awakens?
Is that another J.J. Abrams scene?
I think so.
So yes.
Now people are going to get angry as well, because I think I said in a previous episode that I like Star Wars quite a lot too.
Why are people sure angry at you for that?
Because, you know how the internet is. They go...
Go on.
He says he knows things and he doesn't. You know what I mean?
He's the fool!
So yeah, there is no Marco Polo. I was trying to look at the reason why it doesn't exist, and it seems to be that like all of the... A lot of the early episodes... they have, because I guess back then you don't think you're going to release things on VHS and DVD. Hey, you just make a show, it goes to it gets televised, and you're like, let's move on to the next thing.
That's it.
And so they just don't have any copies of it because the BBC archives don't have it. So they might have taped over it.
How weird's that?
Which is, I guess, because it's quite a popular series as well. And also, we were talking about this before we started recording, it's set on Earth. And now we still have not been back to Earth in all of these Doctor Who since the first one.
I've been told that apparently we travel back to Earth quite a bit in the show. I haven't seen it yet, and the one time they start to do it, they decide to tape over the entire show. We were just talking too that it's amazing that today, just because of the internet and everything, you don't even think that that could happen.
No.
How bizarre is that? They lose a 7-episode arc.
And there's some crazy ones in here that we'll get to that are like, they did like record over it, but then someone in, I think a lot of them came from someone in New Zealand who had just tape recorded them while they were on TV.
Right.
And they just had them all. So they've managed to like remaster a whole bunch of those episodes as well.
Yep.
So, no Marco Polo, but, that was set in China in the 13th century, I want to say, 1289. Yes?
That is the 13th century.
13th century. People will be like, well, that's good, 12 at the front. Yeah, but you know how time works, right? Like 0 AD. Oh my gosh. Let's have this discussion now. 0 AD.
You teach maths, don't you?
0 AD is, that's the start of the first century, isn't it? So 100 AD is the start of... The second century, technically.
So, therefore, say you're 25 years old, you're actually living in your 26th year.
Yes.
Because when you
can turn... Can you leave that pause in as well?
Because when you turn one, you've already lived your first year. You started at zero. So yes. When you're 1 year old, you're in your second year.
So we should count age by, like, our days instead.
Yes. Yeah,
so that'd just be more accurate.
So how many days have you been alive for? Is that what you mean?
What's 30 times 365 plus half 7 months-ish?
It's more than 12. You can't say I'm incorrect.
You're not incorrect.
It's more than 12.
It is more than 12.
Yeah.
The other thing is...
Anyway...
So there is some, like, I guess, plot, like, minor plot holes. Something you didn't even notice, which was the fact that Ian starts the next story in a different outfit because he gets it in Marco Polo, but I guess it wasn't that big a deal to you.
So I don't know how I didn't notice that. I see it now that you've shown me, but I just started watching the show. He often wears weird things, though.
He does often wear weird things.
So maybe he found it in the TARDIS.
I mean, well, they've got a massive wardrobe in the TARDIS. In fact, there's a really good David Tennant episode. I think it's his very first episode where he goes into the TARDIS wardrobe and there's just, like, clothes galore. It looks really good. So, instead...
Yes?
We watch The Keys of Marinus.
I kept thinking it was The Keys of Mauritius.
Why?
Because I just read it really quickly and then realised... It's not that, and we're not on Earth.
No, we're not on Earth. In fact, this is one of my favourite things about the three episodes we watched, is the three of them must seem to be set in different places.
That's true.
And I like that. As opposed to this, let's spend six episodes on this one place.
Or let's spend, was it two episodes?
In the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's another thing people will be cranky about, me giving that episode 3 out of 13 or whatever, but that's fine.
Well, it was a 3 out of... Actually, I gave it a much
you
better score.
You gave it a much better score. Look, I didn't mind it, but that's how I felt at the time, so I'm sticking to it.
I just want to be careful, because I know that there's really good stuff coming up. I don't want to start giving out high scores for no reason.
And I'm a typical fan, so no. I love all episodes... But the ones that I don't like...
Unless there are 3 out of 13.
Oh my gosh. But the ones that I don't like, I hate.
Oh,
I see. You know what I mean? It's like, you know how they say Star Wars fans are the worst fans?
Ooh.
Because they just...
Let's
like,
go there. Go
they,
on.
They like... They get their... They're the most... Sorry. They're the most critical of Star Wars.
So a nice way to say they're the worst fans, apparently. I didn't say that.
Attack of the Clones is the best Star Wars. Just wait till that takes off.
Who's a fool now?
Me.
Attack of the Clones.
That's episode 2.
I know. I'm just repeating what you said in case people think
so
that's
much.
Not what he said.
The worst movie ever.
That's not even the prequel, the first prequel, is it? It's the second one?
Yeah, well, look, let's just tangent into a Star Wars podcast for a minute.
Go on.
The Phantom Menace is not good. I like the... I like and
you like the pod racing, don't you?
I like there's this really cool video. No, I don't. There's this really cool video that's called like Qui-Gon Jinn Worst Jedi Ever. It's just him being like, you know how at the start Obi-Wan's like, I have a bad feeling about this, and it's Qui-Gon just goes, I don't sense anything, and then suddenly it's just all the clipped together bits of him being like, we should train Anakin.
For anyone
and then
listening,
stabbed through the stomach. Yes.
If you want to see the best commentary on how bad the prequels are, look up the Red Letter Media examination of the prequels on YouTube. It absolutely annihilates them. It explains scene by scene why they're awful films.
Mm.
Worth it.
Except episode 3.
You like episode 3? The one where he goes, no!
I don't like that scene.
Well, that's in episode 3, so you said you like episode 3, so you like it.
I don't mind the novelization either.
I'll give you an opposing view, seeing as you seem to be okay with episode 3. Is that what I'm getting from
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to nod, but then I realized this is a audio medium.
All 3 prequels are cancer. That's my view.
Back to...
I don't care how much of a fan you are of Star Wars. Come at me.
Oh, good. That's gonna get... You're looking after the email account, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, today's thingy.
Oh, by the way, our email is thefanofthefool@gmail.com. Yes.
Yes. It's in the episode description below.
And we have...
I haven't done it yet because we're still recording the episode.
You know those couples that share a Facebook account and it's a little bit weird, but you don't say anything about it? We have that with email.
Oh, yeah.
We're both on there.
We also have that with Facebook because we have Facebook.
That's true. We are that couple. That's us.
Really good artwork on there too, by the way. I like the...
The logo's amazing.
The logo is good. I didn't realize until I looked closely and I was making our Facebook page that the picture of me, the drawing of me, has like a little mustache. I was like, that's a bit gross, but all right.
We could probably edit that out if you want.
Anywho, before we get to today's stuff.
Yes.
As always.
Sorry for rambling, but it's what we do.
It is. It is just 10 minutes of rambling so far.
And yes, we've been rambling, but there'll be that sarcastic person in the comments that says, the episode starts here, and puts a timestamp. So you can start that from now.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay, so
Welcome to the podcast. The thing
for today.
Yes.
So before we talk about the episode, I brought a thing.
There's an object I have to comment on whether I think it's from.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who done it.
Or anything else.
Doctor what?
It's not anything.
Okay, it looks like a three-way pipe. You know those, like...
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
I'll tell you what it is. If anyone's played
Isn't it like a four-way pipe? Because it's got four ways?
Actually, I didn't see that at the bottom there. If anyone's played the video game BioShock, you know the puzzles where you got to put the pipes together to open the door because it's a lock? It's the one that has the four ways.
Oh, haven't played BioShock.
Yeah, but some random person will. If I look at it, is it going to give it away?
I mean...
Is it written on there, what it is?
I don't think so. Don't read the bottom of it, maybe. I don't know. It says
symbols down there. Well, there's a symbol on the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's blue. I don't know if that matters or not.
Well, I mean, the TARDIS is blue, so...
I'm going to say it's not from Doctor Who.
What? Because, look at it, though.
No, I think it's a random thing from Pokemon or Digimon or something.
First of all, both of those things are wrong. And also, how dare you say Digimon. So don't say Digimon in this place. Pokemon is superior.
Digimon.
Secondly...
I reckon it's not from Doctor Who.
You are correct.
Yes!
Because I figured I've done it like four times in a row, so I bet a pig's something different. But this is actually from Green Lantern.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because it's a lantern.
But why is it blue?
Because it's a blue lantern.
Go on.
So
for the blue man
in the this is people who love Doctor Who are like, why? But
we come with rambles. It's how it goes.
In the Green Lantern comic book series, there's a event that's called Brightest Day. Is it Brightest Day? No, but it's like a war thing. It's like a war.
Right.
Between all these different emotions. Now I wish I knew, because it's one of my favourite series.
Apparently so. What a fool.
Brightest Day, Brightest Night.
Brightest Day, there's Blackest Night.
There's a Sinestro War.
He says Brightest Day, Blackest Night.
I think it's Blackest Night is when all the dead come back to life. You know what? Just hang on a sec. So let's Green Lantern, what's it called? Mythology or whatever you want to call it. So this is a blue lantern. In Green Lantern comic books, green is the color of like willpower. Like you think things in. That's why they make things with their ring. They will it. And like yellow, which is fear.
Oh, I thought it was like envy or something.
No, that I think that doesn't exist though.
Okay.
Blue is hope. So it's a lantern of hope.
That makes sense now that you've said that that's what it is.
I should literally put it sideways to be like, ooh, try and freak you out.
It does say DC Comics on the bottom, so
that would have thrown it away.
I still don't think I would have guessed it though, because anything outside of Batman in the comic book world sucks. But anyway.
Okay,
now
making enemies, not friends on this podcast, apparently.
Now the comment, the sarcastic comic, will have the timestamp from now.
Right, so the episode that we watched are The Keys of Marinus.
It actually exists, so we could watch it.
Oh, yes, unlike all of the other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down here, so this is episodes 14 to 20.
Six arc episodes.
Oh, sorry, they're missing 14 to 20. This is 21 to 26.
26, and we're doing half of it.
Yes, so we're doing the first three episodes.
Yep.
Starting with The Sea of Death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I thought it was interesting.
The Sea of Death, what's...
That's the first episode, isn't it?
No, it is, but I'm trying to remember the sea now.
The sea was that made of acid. It was the acid. Oh, yes. And she was like, I'm going to go for a swim. Yes.
Yes, I remember now. So, I remember now. I don't know. It seems so far away.
So, we still have the Doctor, we still have Susan and Ian and Barbara, like... But they seem to be getting along really well now. Like, they don't seem to be, like, any issues. Even, like, the way the Doctor and Ian talk to each other, it's all... It's, like, a bit... It's more friendly.
I feel like there was probably a lot of character building that we missed. Because they were still a bit antsy with each other the last time we physically saw them.
Yes.
And then there was a 7-episode arc that we thought nothing of. They probably became the best of friends.
Yeah, yeah. We could... You know what we should do? At some point, we'll do, like, a special episode about all the missing ones. And we can just, read through...
And there's some audio. Stuff.
There is some audio. Yes. In fact, Marco Polo, I think, has been redone in Big Finish Audio, I think. That doesn't mean anything to you, but they make lots of... That's this website that's on the screen right now.
Oh, right, yes.
That's bigfinish.com.
Right. Not as in a large person from Finland. It's like finishing a race. Bigfinish.com. It could have been something else.
Anyway... The team, yeah, but people listen, they'll get it. Hang Unless on. They're fools.
But the first thing we see in the episode is the TARDIS
landing,
and it is the most obvious miniature I've ever seen. It's hilarious. I mean, I know for the time, it does blah, 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 but it still looks funny.
Sorry, did you say blah, blah, blah about some very sophisticated CGI that occurred?
There was no CGI. There was a camera zoomed in on a toy.
I liked it.
I don't mind it. But it was pretty obvious. Some other stuff they've done in the show looked a lot better to me, I thought.
I thought the funnier one was when there was like the little ship things that go through the acid. Yes. They were like pulling up to the shore. It looked like someone was just like pushing them underwater. Yes,
I do remember that. Now. Yeah.
So there was that. That's the one that I thought looked more dodgy than the TARDIS landing.
There's a lot of kids playing with toys that we were zoomed in on, apparently.
Yes. Yes, yes. But hey, sometimes it's easy to do things in model form than real form.
And it made sense, especially then. I get it.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that they make reference to colour television at the start of the episode too. Yeah. Ian and Barbara's like, do you have a colour television? Like, it's a shame it's not in colour because they're talking about the Doctor's like screen. And the Doctor's like, I do have a colour television somewhere. It's like, well, maybe film this in colour then.
Yeah. Is that one of their predictions of the future?
I guess...
because this obviously... There was no colour TV when this was made, right?
In 1960... so this still would have been 1963.
Yeah.
Possibly 64, but probably 63.
Maybe they knew it was going to come. There was something that was being made.
Mm.
So they thought, if we reference it now, it's going to look cool.
Well, I would think, yes. But I need to actually... I don't know history well. So I don't know if they had colour back then and we just didn't have it. For, it probably would have been really expensive to film in.
That's a good point.
And I'm pretty sure when we get to the third Doctor...
I'm going
to
look it up, but you go.
I'm pretty sure when we get to the third Doctor, there's a lot of episodes that are set on Earth because it's the first season where it's all in colour.
Oh, so they thought, let's take advantage of this.
And just we'll just not travel to far off places just yet.
That makes sense.
Mm. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I actually thought it was really weird that Susan was, like, so keen to go for a swim. So just ease up. Like, he's like, don't. We're not here for a swim. And then she's like, I must swim, basically. So I thought that was
weird. She's a weird girl.
She is a weird girl. Yeah. I think I time-coded her first scream in this series, in this set of episodes too. It's at the 10-minute mark she screams the first time.
Yes.
And it just continues.
By the way, colour TV was about 10 years before.
Ooh.
Actually, it was first in like 1928 that it was like shown as an experiment. But to actually have it and watch it was apparently just 10 years before this.
And I presume at this point they had colour movies. So,
yeah. It's just that it probably was expensive, like you said.
Mm.
And now, like you said, they didn't think this was going to go anywhere.
I mean, I say a lot of things.
That's true. I liked your quote from before. I don't know history well. Just out of context, it's a good quote. We should call this episode that.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
I think, and I also think it's interesting that Ian was like, oh, the puddle's tidal, the acid water was tidal, like, they're really getting really good at identifying things, yeah. So it's not just like someone's put a whole heap of weird acid water here, it's actually, like, the ocean for whatever planet they've landed on.
A sea of death, if you will.
A sea of death?
Yes.
It sounds like a good title for something. Mm. So, yeah, teachers are catching on to everything, is what I wrote. Good on those teachers.
Good on them.
There's a mysterious figure who tries to get into the TARDIS too, who I feel like we'll come back to because we see them every now and then, but haven't had, like, a big confrontation with them yet.
No.
No.
They look hilarious, though.
Yeah, I think there was something I wrote down here. I find it really weird. There seems to be a lot of weird cuts in this episode too. Like, they'll be in the middle of something and then they'll just appear somewhere else and be like, it's a good thing we decided to do this thing. And it's like, oh, I don't even know how we got here.
Maybe they lost more footage and this is just what they were able to put together.
Well, I didn't even realize. So, all right, before we just keep getting off track, what happens is they walk in on this new planet. Susan's like, I must swim. And so she takes off one of her shoes and it falls into the acid water and just, like, melts.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good effect, too. I like that.
She's actually lucky because the only reason it fell in the water is because the older woman, what's her
Barbara.
Name?
Barbara.
Bumped into the shoe and knocked it into the sea. Don't get angry at me because I forgot a very generalistic name once. She, for some reason, runs into them to say hello.
Yeah.
And bumps the shoe into the water and then it melts. So.
And then, yeah, I think that's when... Susan doesn't scream then, but she gets really scared.
Yes, she does.
And Ian's like, wear my shoes. Really good boots, by the way, that he got from the previous episodes that we didn't see.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
But he says, put my boots on, go get another pair of shoes. But I don't see her... So she leaves. And Ian and Barbara are like talking about how the acid water's an ocean or whatever. It's a sea of death. And then they're a bit like, well, we should go check on Susan. The doctor's like, I don't know what the doctor was up to at that point. He wasn't in that scene. But he kind of reappears and they go back towards the TARDIS and Ian's shoes are just there. Like, I didn't see the part where she went in to get new shoes. Did I miss that?
It was kind of a weird... The whole idea of that scene was she goes towards the TARDIS and you're meant to see the villain or the mysterious figure there and then suddenly disappear and walk off and Susan just misses him. So I don't know if it mattered whether we saw her get the shoes, but did you notice that the mysterious figure literally was walking away as Susan got there? Like, there's no way she would not have seen him.
Maybe it's black and white TV and it was actually nighttime. It's really dark.
Are you telling me that if you see a man wearing a full leather suit walk away from the front door of your home maybe 5 seconds after you, you're not going, what the hell is that? She doesn't even see him.
No, but I thought that, yeah. And then she decides to go to the city, which I also thought was weird because I didn't understand that. Because the doctor does say there's like a city over there or a big building. We should go check out that thing. That looks really interesting.
Yeah.
But she's already gone there. Like, I don't know why she went there. I feel like I kept missing... The second episode I love, this first one, I just felt like I kept missing stuff. Like,
I really think they lost footage again.
I feel like that could be, because it just felt like a collection of scenes.
Yeah.
And it is a shorter episode, it's 23 minutes. It's normally about 3 or 4 minutes longer than that.
Yeah.
So there could have just been little bits and pieces that they just didn't have. But it just felt really, like, disjointed at the start. Then suddenly it was like... Now there's a problem to solve. And I was like, okay.
Whoa, first of all, where are we? Yeah. There's this acid ocean.
Yeah.
But let's go and walk off into the city. Yeah, I think we missed a fair bit.
And I also think, so there's the dark figure wearing leather, whatever. I'm not sure if he's wearing leather.
But I'll tell you what he looks like, unless you've got a description.
No.
You know the movie, you know the Thor movies? And there's the guy who stands at the gateway between their world and other worlds.
Oh, Heimdall.
Who's played by...
Idris Elba.
Imagine if that guy's suit also covered his face and was just completely plastic or leather and it was black. That's what he looked like.
I just looked up a picture of him. That's just his face, though. So, yes.
I didn't like it. I was like, You would not see that. I'll just tell you today, you would not see that in a children's TV show or a general PG TV show. Because
you found it horrifying?
It's a bit weird. In the 60s, it has weird connotations. Yeah, in the, that's
okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It was weird.
All right. Did you like the bit where he fell through a wall then? And there was very clearly a stagehand there who...
Yes.
Did you see the stagehand there?
No, but it was really obvious how the way he fell through it.
No, but there was a guy... I'll try and find it for you later. But... So the mysterious figure is walking around the city as well. Because I kind of clued on to the fact that maybe he's not... He doesn't live in that city either.
No, he's also discovering it or breaking in or something.
And then... He's leaning against the wall. Susan's walking around the building, and he's getting ready to stab her.
Yes, the knives get their revenge after last time with her. And
yes. Well, she had scissors last time. He could have been holding scissors. I didn't get a good look at them, but...
No, that was just a knife, but the stab...
So he had it up, and then the wall, like, fell away behind him, and he fell into the building. But there's very clearly a person... Like, you can see them. Like, I paused it.
Is this what you've paused for me?
No, I paused something else for you because I looked everywhere. This is from the second episode, and I need you to help me with something. So, there's a bit where... So, he falls in, but just go back and, like...
I will. I'm going to look at it.
But there's literally, like, not even hidden from view. There's just a full person just being like, ooh. And it's like...
Like it's a play, and a person off stage is dragging them.
I mean, we're going to get into some interesting plants moving later too, because that was definitely not good. And so then I've got 10-minute mark. Susan screams and is captured and/or trapped again. Mm. And I feel like that's a sentence I can copy and paste into every episode that we have.
Yeah,
Susan screams and is captured.
Boom.
Yeah.
Tick. We've done it this time. Let's move on to the next part of the plot.
And then the Doctor, Susan, and Barbara are all captured. So Ian, they all head to the city. Now Barbara gets captured first.
Well, can I just say first of all, what is with them always splitting up to try and find Susan?
Because...
They always get in trouble every time they do it.
Splitting up is the,
Go on.
It's good, isn't it? You cover more ground. And that's always a phrase you hear on those things as well. We'll cover more ground.
That's right.
Like, no, you'll all get killed.
But every time! Remember the episode with the Daleks?
Mm-hmm.
One of them goes missing, they all split up. It never works. They all get captured.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Well, it didn't happen in Marco Polo.
Do you hear that? Writers of TV shows 50 years later, stop doing it.
It is the same writer. It's Terry Nation. I think he wrote the Daleks episode as well, so...
It is him. It said Terry Nation.
Yeah. So, you know...
Tick.
If you've got a good thing going, why not just rinse and repeat?
Well, he has a checklist. She screams. The Doctor stumbles over a couple of lines because, haha, that's cute, but actually he doesn't know how to read his lines.
Mm.
Let's split up. We'll cover more ground.
Well done, everyone. That's a wrap. Cut.
Cut.
Put it to air.
And let's record over it immediately and lose all history. Tick. Do you like the way the Doctor nonchalantly falls back into the wall when he's captured? The rest of them all struggle and they're trying to get away. He just kind of almost does like that thing where you put your arms over your chest and fall backwards into a pool.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's an elderly man, isn't he? He knew what was coming, so he's just like, oh, I'm just going to roll with this. It's probably safer.
It was hilarious.
I like the part where the Doctor... So Dr. Susan and Barbara are all captured, and the Doctor seems to have a newfound respect for Ian, because he says, with Ian still out there, like, he's a resourceful guy.
I wrote that, resourceful.
We still got this. Yeah. Like, Ian will save us. But then Ian is also captured. Like, I was like, oh, he's full of hope.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, actually, no.
No. But I do think we missed a lot of character development in that
story. Yeah, we must have.
Because they are... He really likes Ian now.
But I think that... I don't think it's a terrible thing, because I think the way it's kind of shining through in this episode, you see, you can see that they're much closer than they used to be.
Absolutely.
And anyway, so they're inside a building, and there's like a guy all by himself.
The guy in white?
The guy in white.
Imagine the Emperor, but what's his name again? Cloak.
It's something. Hang on, I need to find it.
Okay, I've got a name written down, not for him, but for the people. The Vord? Or is that the other people?
The Vord are the baddies? The guy all dressed up.
In plastic.
In plastic. The plastic man.
The plastic man. Actually, I did write down plastic man in my
head. I did recognize that, because there is a Big Finish audio story. It's like a classic one about that race. So I was like, ooh. Oh. But I hadn't seen these episodes before. Arbiton?
Yes, Arbiton, because they do refer to him later. I remember that name now.
Yeah. I found him interesting, and if anyone's seen the very recent episodes with, like, the Timeless Child and stuff, I found, like, he kind of echoed another old man in the present day Doctor Who. Like, he's all by himself, and he's like, I'm holding out here. And he's all like, oh, there's... You know what? I did roll my eyes a little bit when he was like, there's four of you here, and we need four keys. I was like, oh. Because he had one.
Yeah.
Because there's five keys to Marinus. Now, at first I didn't understand why he needed the keys.
I still don't.
But isn't it to stop the Vord from, like, taking over?
Well, he wants to make sure they don't get the keys. That's as far as we know.
Well, they separated the keys so the Vord couldn't get into something.
Yep.
But he has one, and he knows where the other four are, but no one else knows.
Yeah.
So I think a really cool device that is in this episode is the time dials, or the dials, what are they called?
I think
travel dials.
Travel dial.
I think they were cool. Like, that was a cool idea with the way they pop when they, like, transport someone.
And it's basically a watch where they move the time.
Yeah.
I like the way they made them disappear. It did look pretty cool.
Yeah. They just
basically blacked out that side of the screen when it was Barbara.
Yeah.
All the other rest of the group are on the left, and she's on the right doing it. And then that screen just cuts to black. So it was still that one shot. So it looked like she disappeared.
It was a pretty cool effect. I was like, ooh. These guys are trying stuff.
Yeah, that was cool.
And I thought it was really funny. Like, so just to end off, because they all kind of... I'm not sure if you have anything else to say about this episode, but...
Zero.
They all teleport away. And the old man does a little, like, monologue-y thing. And he's like, I hope they save the day or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he turns around to kind of, like, work on his... There's, like, a big screen with, like, all the history of the planet or whatever. And then dressed up guy, the Vord guy, comes over and kills him.
Knifes him. They like stabbing in this show.
He did a really good... I don't know why I picked up on this, but, you know, he stabbed him. Obviously, he didn't really stab him. Like, you know, actors and whatever.
Yeah. The way he collapsed is pretty good, too.
But the way that he, like, pulled out, he's like... I was like, oh, that's pretty good acting.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, it's hard to pull a knife out of someone, I assume. I don't know.
Excuse me? I don't know.
Now, in my notes, I was writing on the last page of my book for some reason. So I just need to flick through.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, The Velvet Web. Now, this is my favourite episode.
Ever?
Of this three.
Oh, okay.
And it probably is.
So it's your it's your favourite episode of this half of the story arc of this season.
Yeah, but I had the most to write about it. This is what I had. This is the length of the stuff I had to write for the last episode. It's literally like four lines.
I have one line for last episode.
So they all land.
I did like this episode too, by the way.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
All right. I liked it a lot.
Calm down. So it is your favourite episode of half of an arc of part of a season.
They land, and it was at the end of the last episode, they land in a place. So Barbara went ahead of them. She went first.
Yes.
And then the other three were like, well, we better go after her. So they all go teleport and they're like, oh, it's her bracelet's on the ground here and it's covered, it's got blood on it. And Susan and Ian open a door and Barbara's just in there, like chilling and eating grapes or whatever.
Being served by people, like she's yeah. a queen.
So I thought that was really cool. Like, she's actually fine. And
it's a bit of a change from all the times of being captured and being in prison that we've seen so far.
Yeah. For now.
Oh, no.
So
it was cool.
I thought it was cool. And she's just like, oh, they're friendly. But then I did get suspicious when the guy, like this guy comes in and his name is Altos.
I thought there was an I in there. Atios?
Atios. I'm going to need to look it up again.
Look it up. You might be right.
Cast. Altos. A-L-T-O-S. Altos. So Altos, he's like, oh, well, let me tell you about this place. And he's telling about, like, how they, you know, they give everyone whatever they desire. They're like, oh, we just want to serve people and be nice or whatever. Because the doctor's like, I want a laboratory. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. We'll get you a laboratory. You know what I mean? Like, it was really weird. That's when I was like, oh, this does not seem good.
I was suspicious straight away.
The point that I want to be like, oh, Ian picked up on it first. He's like, talked about he didn't want to eat anything because he didn't know the price yet. And I was like, oh, like, he's like, you know what I mean? Like, he was immediately suspicious, whereas the doctor probably was suspicious, but not to that extent.
He's getting a laboratory. He didn't care.
Yeah.
And Susan's getting a dress. She doesn't care.
Well, Susan, I feel like her character is so inconsistent. She's like, one day she's, like, becoming super brave, and the next day she's, like, terrified and wants a dress. It's just, come on, people. So I have this scene. I actually have a video paused for you.
Yes, it's from that episode.
I think I noticed a production error. I don't know if you can see. Do you need me to turn this?
No, I can see.
I think it's a production error. It's
by the way, if you haven't watched the episode at the same time, it's 4 minutes in.
Yeah, 4 minutes in. I put 4 minutes and 8 seconds.
Okay.
And the bit I want to focus on is when it gets to like 4 minutes 11.
Okay.
Okay, because something weird happens to Ian's face, and I don't know how to explain it, and then there's a bit of audio that goes a bit funny. And I tried to look for it through every production error on the TARDIS wiki and I couldn't find it. So can I just play you this thing? I just want you to watch Ian's face
okay. And
tell me if I'm crazy.
I'm watching the face. Play.
Contented in the universe. Nothing they desire is denied them.
Do you mean you can have anything you want?
Yeah.
What?
Did you see that?
I saw it then. I never saw that when I watched this.
It's like his face has been pasted on top of something else.
It's like if someone does, you know those things where people do a bad Photoshop on purpose and it's funny?
Yeah.
It looks like that in the TV show.
I have a feeling.
What is going on?
That must be like a clip that was recorded.
Because look at his hair. Even his hair is different. Yeah, it's like short, shaven, not shaven, but very Blade One style hair.
I have a feeling maybe he was looking, maybe this is, because the doctor's even just like looking at, like, it's not even relevant to what's happening. I have a feeling they would just put it in, and maybe he wasn't looking where they wanted him to look, and so they just put an image of his head looking that way.
But it doesn't even look like him. Look at the hair.
Yeah, I'll put it on mute for a second.
Look at his hair there. It's much longer.
And then if I press play, so just, I've muted it.
Yep.
It's just weird.
That is so weird.
And let me unmute it for a second, because there is like a little bit.
How did I not see this when we watched when I watched?
Just go back to this weird bit where his head is like that. And then listen to, you know, so Susan's like, oh, anyone can have it, whatever they want.
Yeah.
Listen to like the sound of the guy saying, replying.
Do you mean you can have anything you want?
Yeah.
It's like said by someone off screen.
Yes. You know, like, I just thought that's really weird.
You know what it reminds, you know what makes me think of? You know when you see an audition recording?
Yeah.
And someone goes in and they're very passionate with their lines, and the person who's replying, who's interviewing them, is just like, so where do we go now? Because they don't care.
Yeah, they're just saying the lines.
That's what it was like.
Yeah, so I thought that was weird. You didn't notice that?
I don't know how I didn't notice it.
I have scoured production errors, like, through multiple websites. I've been searching William Russell's name and being like, William Russell, weird face. And I don't know what's going on there.
I thought William Russell was the doctor.
No, that's William Hartnell.
Oh.
They're both named William.
Oh, Will. The Blue Lantern, Green Lantern, it all makes sense now.
Yes, that is from Doctor Who. Also, that one's about hope. The Doctor's full of hope.
Full of something, I'll tell you what.
I knew you would say that.
Do you know? Okay, so what? Almost 60 years later, you might be the first person to have...
I doubt it. Do you want me to Google it really quickly now? William Russell.
Okay, so for those of you listening...
Weird.
This is thrilling.
Face moment.
Matthew is Googling something about the episode.
Weird face moment. What's the name of it? The Keys of Marinus.
The Velvet Web.
Oh, the Velvet Web. Let's go with that because that's probably...
Your favourite episode from the first half of the arc of the first season.
It doesn't look like there are... It looks like there aren't many great matches for your search.
Google's actually saying there's nothing here.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, I'll tell you what. Can I tell you something?
What?
You know how on the YouTube video we're going to put pictures?
Can you put that picture there?
That's going to be the picture for the episode.
I just want you to kind of... I'll show you two that I want you to kind of shift between.
Okay, I love that.
I just want to go from here to that. Just repeat that.
Okay. Flip it every what? Five? Not that much. Maybe every.
Actually, seconds. I wonder if you can just, you know, this little bit. I'm going to press play again. For those people listening, they're going to be like, oh my God. So I'm going to hit play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the moment it starts, that bit where the doctor's like looking at fruit.
Yes.
I wonder if you can just loop that bit so his face is just always like that and the doctor's just like.
Nothing they desire is denied them.
Do you mean you can have anything you want?
Yeah.
Like, mute it and just have the doctor being like,
Forever.
And Ian's face just being like a piece of cardboard.
Because it looks like he's not moving. It looks like they've taken a still shot of him.
I think that's what's happened.
That is really weird.
But it's still my favourite episode of this arc. Of this
arc of this season. Oh, what a good time. This is a great episode, this, by the way.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
They're in the town of Morphetton. Is that what happened? Morphetton.
I don't remember.
Now, they go to... I don't know if you have anything, but I'm going to want to talk to them about when they go to sleep.
Yeah.
So, they all go to sleep.
Go on.
And there's a weird woman who... There's a cockatoo outside. There's a weird woman who comes and puts things on each of their heads.
Yeah, like a little dot on their forehead. Almost like when you go into a hotel and there's a little chocolate on your pillow, but someone's put it on your forehead while you're asleep.
So it's not such a weird thing. I remember in a hotel and I wake up with the chocolate on my forehead.
It's not quite as welcoming.
So she puts the thing on their heads. I couldn't quite see what it was. At first, I thought it was like a crystal or something, but it just looks like a weird, like a metal ball bearing thing. Or something. Yeah. So I thought it was weird that she was like, "Yeah, this will work." Because I don't know how other people sleep, but I don't sleep flat on my back and stay in that position the whole night.
No.
So like, I thought it would stick to their head or something. But then when Barbara like rolled over, it just fell off her head.
Well, she's the only one that seems to wake up and hear this weird screeching sound in the middle of the night
And then she just goes back to sleep.
And the thing is not on her forehead anymore, is it?
No, because it fell off.
Oh, so that's why it doesn't work for her.
Are you just realizing this now?
Well, I thought it would work because the rest of them are peacefully asleep. She's the one like, screaming because she hears that same weird screeching sound that Susan did earlier.
But when they arrived... She was already like, this place is awesome. So she must have had that on her head at some point. But then they haven't had it on their head yet. So there must be some weird thing that it has to like to keep the illusion going.
Yeah.
When you sleep, they have to put the thing on your head. But I just wonder if does everyone in that city then just lie, like sleep on their back without ever moving? So a thing that can be loosely put on your forehead. You know what I mean?
It seems to... what is it? Hypnotize them into being in love with everything and thinking it's all amazing.
Yeah. Or like... thinking all the food is great and they've got really awesome clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't. And that is probably... This is where I was like... this is great.
It's a cool idea.
Because Barbara wakes up. Barbara wakes up and he's screaming, like, or there's, like, flashing lights. Like an alarm's going off.
Yeah.
And then she goes, she, like, collapses back to sleep. But then when she wakes, like, they all wake up and Susan's like, I got a new dress now. And the doctor is, you know, they're having breakfast or whatever. And Susan's like, oh, we should wake up Barbara so I can show her my new dress. And they wake up Barbara because the loose thing's been falling off her head. There's a moment where it switches cameras.
Yes.
And I loved it. So there's a camera from like the doctor, Barbara, the doctor, Ian and Susan's perspective of like the world being great. And then it shifts to Barbara's perspective. Ian's like, how's it go? Are you okay? Wake up, Barbara.
Yeah.
And it just, everything looks like trash.
And it's literally her point of view. So the doctor and everyone, when they're talking to her, are looking at you at the camera.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I liked it. And then you could see like all the tattered, like Susan's like, check out my dress. And she's like, it's horrible. Cause it's just like a tattered thing. And the food's not even good. And it's like, oh, this is actually a horrific place to be. It's just that they've all been like weirdly hypnotized.
Yeah.
Into this amazing place. So what have they been eating? You know, like, what have they been eating and drinking if it's not actually awesome stuff?
Very weird.
And then the guy, Altus, comes in. He's like, we'll get someone to... like, we'll get a physician to help you. She's like, I'm not having any of that. And she bolts. But I like that they constantly... they did it a few times where they shift cameras.
Yeah.
It for being really cool. And then once... like, now that the illusion has been broken for the viewer, that's us.
Fourth wall.
It never, like, shifts back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. Because later, the doctor's like, check out this laboratory. I'm bloody loving it.
He holds up a dirty mug.
Yeah, and he's like, check out this equipment. And I'm just like... he has lost his mind.
He's gone. And this is not just him as the actor. No. This is the plot.
Well, yeah, because the other act, the Ian who's with him is also just like...
wow!
Yeah, and they cut to a view of the laboratory. It's just like a wall and a mug on a table.
Blank. And he's like, isn't that that piece of equipment you love in the corner over there?
Yeah. And
the doctor's like, oh, stout.
It's awesome. So yeah, I thought that was really good. And there's a creepy painting with the eyes glowing at night too. I wrote that down. So Barbara manages to escape. I thought the way that he didn't spot her was really weird. You know, she goes outside, yeah. She stands behind a pillar, and he just like looks outside and he's like, oh, she must be gone.
And you know all those times you walk into a room to look for something and you look at one corner and then immediately no leave? Rest, yeah. You don't look the other way and go, oh, there's a person over there.
Yeah, yeah. No. No, I always look everywhere.
Very weird.
I thought that was really weird. And then, so he leaves and he goes to have a meeting with the, I wrote them down as like the brains in jars. They're brains in upside down jars and they've got googly eyes.
It made me think of like, you know, like a slug. But yeah. The body is a brain and the two antenna things, there's a big eyeball on the top of each one of those. Yeah.
So he goes to talk to them and they're like, oh, the girl, Sabatha.
Yeah, something like that.
She didn't do her job properly. So kick her out. And so she gets tossed out with Barbara. And Barbara's like trying to get her to see the world the way it is. And, then the guy comes back outside. And spots Barbara and is like, because he's supposed to kill her now.
Yeah.
And Sabatha, I can't say her name properly, hits the guy with a chair. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Cracks him over the head.
And Barbara goes back inside and Ian's like, I don't know who you are. You know, that was really weird too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved all that kind of like, it was all the micro, because you don't need awesome CGI to do that. And I was like, oh, this is... I felt like this episode of this still held up. Apart from that weird face bit.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I need to ask you if I missed something again, though. Because she comes out and she's like, oh, thank goodness, Ian. And Ian's like, I don't know who you are. And he's like, you're the one they're looking for. And he takes her to the three brains and jars, or four brains and jars, I think it is.
Yeah.
And
it appear to be the bosses of the city.
Yeah. And so she has a bit of... He starts to choke her because they told him to. And she breaks free.
Yep.
Well done.
Hang on. Before we go any further...
Yeah.
Because this happens earlier in the episode, and I just want to mention it.
Yeah.
The whole point is that they're enslaving the people. And they say about these group of people that they've just caught, the crew.
Mm.
All the younger ones we're going to make slaves.
Yes.
And the doctor we're going to use him to increase our manpowers.
Yes.
Now, they do not say manpower singular. Did you notice that?
No.
They said, let's put the doctor to work so he can increase our manpowers. Can you tell me what that is?
Well, they're brains in jars. So maybe they don't have English as like a...
It was just the weirdest way to say it. I don't think it's a word.
And
anyway, skip forward too. She breaks free
and then she like staggers back and she grabs something and like smashes all of the...
Breaks all the jars.
She breaks one jar and then she smashes the rest of the cords or whatever. Yeah. So then they die.
I don't know. How did that kill them? Was it the oxygen or something?
Yeah, maybe. But then I guess, how does that species survive? I love the part where they're like, humans are great. You know what I mean? Did you like that speech?
They're the most flexible piece of equipment ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought, I was like, oh, that's a bit much. But all right. But anyway, she kills all of them. And Ian's like, oh, yes.
Did you like the way the eyeball on one of them just kind of fell over when they were dying?
Yes, I loved it. It's almost as good as the Dalek in that... The Daleks one where the one that just looks straight up. It's like, ah! and Ian's like, oh, my head. I can see clearly again now that that's all over.
Now that the rain is gone.
Good reference. Mm. I missed the part where they actually got the key.
In that town? Yeah, hang on. I'm trying to remember. I know the next part because it's a pretty significant part of the plot, what happens with the key.
But this is another point where they did a weird cut. And I feel like Ian and Barbara was like, it's okay. And then the next scene, they were like leaving the city and they're like, oh, the city's on fire and that.
I don't remember. Maybe it wasn't in there.
And then suddenly they're friends with Altos and Sabatha, and they're like, yeah, come with us.
Yeah, no, so we missed something because that exchange... The only exchange you see between all of those people is Barbara and Sabatha in the room where they're locked, and she cracks the chair over the bad guy's
head. Altos.
Altos's head.
But now they're friends now.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, I know they were mind-controlled, but, like, if you were trying to kill me and you were mind-controlled... And, like, I met you, like, an hour ago. You spent that hour trying to kill me. Then I broke the thing that was mind controlling you. And you're like, do you want to go get a coffee? I'd be like, what?
Let's give it a day.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I think you're right. Because I even remember thinking, who is that guy? And then I realized it was the guy from before.
Yeah.
Because they don't explain. There's no continuity of him realizing what's happened and changing.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
So I guess they all snapped out of it. And then they were like, actually, we do know old man... What's his name? Arbiton. They know the old man.
But
that footage like, we'll help you now. We're with you. Even though we were mind controlled and eating weird food that wasn't actually that.
Enslaved to brains in a jar.
How did they take control like that? Someone must have helped them. I do like sometimes how in these Doctor Who things that the Doctor arrives at a place and because he... It's not like he's there from the beginning and the end of like a crisis. He's only there when he's needed, I guess.
Yeah.
Like this town, this city might have just been built like this with these creatures always in control. And I think the other interesting thing about the next part... Because they leave this place and they go to the screaming.
They must have the key.
They have the key.
So that's what, 2 of 5?
2 of 5. And the doctor's like, let's divide our forces. Now, I have trivia for why they divide.
Well, I'll tell you why. Tick, everyone splits up. We have to follow the guide.
Yeah, but let's say you're in a group of 5.
Go on.
And you're like, let's split up. you four go do this, and I'm be me by myself, I'll go do this one.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Doctor went on his own.
Well, the only person who said, I'll stay with you is Susan, and what help is she going to be? She's just going to yell at everyone.
What help is he going to be? He's really smart. Don't get me wrong, he's really smart, but he's also like, I'm an old man, I need to sit down every 10 steps or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Why do they keep doing this?
Well, there is an outside of the storyline reason.
Ooh, go on.
Okay.
Ready?
So, William Hartnell went on holidays.
Okay.
So, he splits away from them. And so, the next two episodes, we've only watched the next one.
Yeah.
Don't feature the Doctor at all.
I didn't even... You know what? Without you saying it, I didn't even notice that. I was just following the plot. I didn't even go, where's the Doctor?
In the next episode.
Because so much is going on, yeah.
Nothing's going on in the next episode. What? I'm sorry.
Okay, but can I ask you?
Yeah.
Does that... I bet you that doesn't happen very often, where there's episodes of Doctor Who without him in it.
There's some.
Okay.
More that... It's more recent. They're called Doctor Light episodes. And sometimes there's a Companion Light episode.
I see.
As
in part of the main show.
Yeah.
Not a spin-off.
No. So,
okay.
There's a really good... there's a couple of... Sometimes they'll do two... They'll, like, film two episodes at once, where one episode is very Companion Light, so it's focused on the Doctor.
Yep.
And the other episode is very Doctor Light, so it's focused on the Companion. But they film it at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
So it saves on production and all of that. So when we get to David Tennant, there's two episodes that I love called... one of them's called Midnight, and one of them's called Turn Left. And so one is very Doctor heavy, and the other's very Companion heavy.
Right.
Yeah, but we'll get there.
We will eventually.
Yes.
So what you're saying is, those are your favourite episodes, not this episode of this half of the arc of this season.
I like that episode. I like this episode very much. I do too. Of the ones we've watched so far, I very much liked it.
I think you've got to suspend the idea of... I mean, we sometimes joke about it, about some of the funny production things.
Yeah.
But if you think about the ideas...
Yeah, it was a very good idea. Like,
there's a lot of good stuff in these episodes.
Just that moment where the camera shift... And I was like, oh my gosh, this is now interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it.
Because that probably wasn't very common to do.
No.
Point of view where the actors look at the camera.
Much more interesting than the next episode. Because I'd like to summarize the next episode in about one or two sentences. Do you mind?
So this is the Screaming Jungle?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, Overgrown Forest.
Yep.
Go in lab, grab key, leave.
That was it. With some, like...
Look, there was classic plants. Susan screaming because the vine, like, fell on her legs. I know it didn't fall. I know it was moving. But I don't mind the idea of, like, oh, the jungle's alive.
Well,
but
it's basically... what they eventually come up with is they're one of those vines or plants that overgrows a building.
Yeah.
But its process has been sped up to the point where it's literally happening in real time.
Yes, I thought that was... That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
But I just think that... because there's only two, maybe three sets.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not a lot that happens. And in fact, even though at the start bit, the four of them land together. So it's five. Barbara, Susan, Ian... Altos and what did I say her name was?
Sebetha.
The five of them land, but then immediately three of them move to the next place, and it's just Ian and Barbara left.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I like watching those two characters like have some character development.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a bit. I did like the comment that Barbara made to Susan that was like, Ian's always trying to protect us, so we can look after ourselves. And then, like, 10 minutes later, she's trapped in a net. She's like, ah!
Literally, you can stand up in that net, and she doesn't.
I put, that's a very handsy statue.
Yes.
I thought that was really creepy and weird, the way it was just like... Because it's real hands, it's like,
I was going to say, that's the only note I made about this episode. Is that just a dude with real arms?
They look like real arms to me.
So what happens is, she thinks she sees one of the keys.
Yeah.
She has to go and stand up on this statue to reach Barbara above it.
Yep.
Barbara.
Yeah.
To reach up and grab it. And these hands that look like part of the statue are human arms that just kind of wrap around her lower thighs.
Yeah. It's so not even lower, like her whole... That whole section.
Her whole thighs. So that part of the wall then spins 180 and she's trapped on the other side. But the arms are just kind of...
It's that the position is not good.
Once again, you would not see that in a CG show today.
Has not aged well. And then Ian's like, looks like it'll have to be my turn now.
He gets up and gets grabbed.
And the way it grabs him and I'm like, ugh. But then, so he decides he has to go after it. And the key that was there was fake. But then they do get the real key. And there's a weird man living by himself again.
So there's a few things that happen, but it's...
It's just not...
Your summary was basically it.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to push through some... And the start bit where he's like, we'll never get through these vines. And Barbara's like, I'll just go through these vines now. You know, like there was a bit of that as well. It was a bit weird.
And that same thing of splitting up where... He goes off to grab something and he says to her, just wait there. Mm. And then she walks in and gets trapped. But then he also gets trapped.
And so we have a situation where the TARDIS team has split into three groups then. So Susan...
What is it with splitting up?
Susan, who's like the youngest... Like, and they don't really know Altos because we spent the whole previous episode of him being brainwashed. But they're like, Susan, go with this stranger... To the next location.
And his strange girlfriend, person, wife.
I don't know if they're even friends. They were both brainwashed.
I feel like we lost a lot of those episodes.
Yeah.
Those scenes.
So she goes off with two strangers.
Into a different time. It's not like she's down the road. Let's use these sundials on our wrist to skip through. Oh, no, it's not jumping they're through time.
Not jumping through time. It's travel dials.
Ah,
travel dials, locations. Is that what they're called? Yeah, travel
but
dials.
But still... Let's just travel abroad in real time to a different place with this girl. That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
You wouldn't see it today.
No, you would not. But the doctor, he may as well be the doctor.
He's off holidaying.
Yes. Ian and Barbara get the key, they use their travel dials, and they land in a snow place.
Yes, that's the end.
And that's the end. They're like, and... They land immediately and she's like, I can't move, it's too cold. It's like, you just got here. Anyway.
You're being attacked by plants, just give it a second, relax.
Just gotta acclimatize. So anyway, there's two more episodes than this.
Yes.
So
maybe one of those episodes will be your next
one. Yeah, because the thing that I find weird about this group of episodes is like I said at the start, they're all set in different places.
Yeah.
So like the Daleks one, I can be like, well, they're all in that one place and I can score that pretty easily. Whereas these all feel like very separate adventures. I know they have the same. They're still looking for the keys.
But I know what you're saying.
But they're different baddies in each one at the moment.
Well, it's almost like you think of a 2-hour film, how they go through different places. They've condensed that down into like a few episodes of a show. It's pretty like... Whereas, you know, a few episodes ago, before the ones that were lost forever, there was two whole episodes in the TARDIS.
Let me get this, I'm just going to go back to, just because we're not going to score this yet, but it's looking pretty good, so, actually the jungle kind of brings it down a lot.
Are we not scoring them halfway through, like,
no, I think we
didn't do that last time?
I don't think we did that last time.
Fair enough.
Or if we did, someone will let us know.
I'm just going to say, apart from the Velvet Web, which you did say you liked as well, the last few episodes are going to have to bring out some big plays because it's not looking like a good score.
Well, it's hard when your star needs to go on holidays, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me find not production areas, production notes, because if you can't hear it, I'm scrolling the story notes.
Matthew is on the Doctor Who.
William Hartnell does not appear in the Screaming Jungle. The actor was on holidays during the filming of these episodes because he's not in the next one. He's not in the snow one.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert, sorry.
Wow.
Hartnell had been working non-stop from October to April on Doctor Who and needed a well-deserved break. And when he returns in Sentence of Death, so that's the last episode of this.
Spoilers.
Well, it's an episode title. He is more energetic and refreshed.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'll tell you if he's more energetic or refreshed if he remembers all his lines with no stumbles. We'll see.
His co-stars also took time off in upcoming episodes. So I'm guessing we're going to get some episodes coming up where... it, like, maybe...
Susan has to go to school. You know?
Barbara, yeah. Barbara and Ian might not be on... might have very few lines. Actually, that's the one other thing I found out about Marco Polo, the one that we couldn't watch.
Yep.
There's a bit in here that says... William Hartnell... William Russell... Let me find it.
Why don't you search...
You say something funny.
Why don't you search his name? Control.
No, I have it. I have it.
Go.
So, William Hartnell became ill during the filming of Marco Polo.
Mm.
So, the doctor was eliminated from most scenes in one episode. And in one of the episodes, he only has one line. So...
Right.
There's a... yeah. He does get ill. He gets more and more sick as we go on.
That's pretty sad.
It is sad.
Maybe we should stop making fun of him not remembering lines.
Yeah.
But it was 60 years ago. It's not like it was yesterday, so who cares? Let the games begin.
Oh my goodness. William Hartnell's a very good actor.
I'm not saying he's not a good actor. I'm saying I haven't seen that yet.
He's also like... he's also... I think he used to drink a lot. I think I mentioned that before. So, you know. Also,
have your drinks.
Have a few drinks.
Doctor Who done it. He probably read the script and was like, whoa, what's going on? I'm going to need to drink for this.
No, he saw the script and he was like, I got to go on holidays.
Didn't realise what a legacy was going to follow. So he now is just known as one of the funniest characters because of what he was
doing.
Well,
the very cool thing is he doesn't like leave the show and die immediately. So he does get to see... Don't do that. As in, like, he does get to see it, you know, become a huge hit.
Oh, okay.
More of a hit. I see. It was pretty big when it was... like, they start to put more money into it and whatever, so...
Are you saying that because there is a doctor that dies in real life at some point?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, it's not like they got rid of him because he's dead. Like, he was obviously getting on a bit and he stopped being the doctor.
Eventually.
But he got to see it continue. So I think that's cool.
That's really cool.
But yeah, I think we'll leave that... this episode there.
Okay.
But next three episodes, I think it's the snow of something.
The last three of the Keys of Mauritius.
Yes.
Marinus.
Did you say Mauritius again?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm not going to score it yet, but we will.
We will.
It's
not looking good at the moment. Sorry, Doctor.
If I could just score just the Velvet Web, I'd give that a pretty high score.
Yeah, I agree. I like that one a lot.
But that's not how this works, though.
No, brutal.
So anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We'll put in the... You can fill in the things I don't say. Because I'm going to say, check out the episode description for our social medias. Facebook, Twitter.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those sorts of things.
YouTube and Instagram.
You can email
TikTok.
Us.
There's going to be a TikTok. I'm just letting you know.
You can No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
I don't like TikTok.
I don't care.
I'm not about that life.
I don't care.
I don't want to see it. If you make the TikTok, I don't want to hear about it.
Fine. When we get millions of views, you're going to want to know about it.
You can email us questions. You can Facebook message us questions. You can tweet questions.
YouTube comments. We look at all of it.
You can
do
all of that.
You can send me a message on TikTok and you'll know it's only me.
Yeah, I won't be looking at it.
The fool will be on TikTok.
Yeah, as usual. And, yeah. And then hopefully, yeah, because we'll at this point, we would have released some. So if you start emailing us questions, we can answer them. We can have like a questions thing.
Yes.
And be like, what do you think of this? And I'll be like, this is what I think. And you can be like, what is that? Because you're the fool.
We'll answer your questions in the episodes as they come in. If you don't hear us answering any questions, then you know we got no questions.
That's right.
And no one's listening.
Yeah, that's right. All right, but I'll see you later.
Love you, bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reverse the polarity.
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 Reverse.